Give my thanks on behalf of my wife, as well as myself, as for the search committee's gracious invitation for us to come and be with you this weekend. It's been a wonderful time meeting some of you, and trust later meeting the rest of you. I also want to thank the elders as well for their invitation and the time that we had together yesterday. I also want to note something that brings great joy to my heart as a pastor is to see so many smiling faces in the faces of our children. Isn't that wonderful to see? I have yet to minister in a church where we've had children. And I very much look forward to, if the Lord wills, guiding, helping you as parents as well as ministering to your children the glorious truths of God's word, the gospel, that which gives hope and life to us all, to even see the great compassion of Christ as he has given it to us in his glorious word. So I'm going to read this morning, as we turn to the scriptures, I'm going to read Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 1. I'm going to begin reading in verse 40, reading through verse 45, a very small narrative, but one that is extremely important as we understand something of the humanity of our Savior, his great love and his compassion for the most unlikely of candidates. That is, of course, you and me. I'm going to read these verses. I'll pray afterwards, ask for the Spirit's help as we consider God's word together. And then we will begin in the time that we have to look at these things. I say that only because you're not used to me, and normally my congregation knows how I do things, and so I just want to give you a little bit of a roadmap to help you this morning. So let's read God's word, Mark chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 40, reading through verse 45, reminding you that this is not the words of men. This is the words of the living and true God. Let's give attention to it, and let's heed it as we hear it this morning. Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 40, Mark writes, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter." This is God's word for you this morning. Let's pause and ask for the Spirit's help now as we consider these things together. Let's pray. Father, now as we humble ourselves before your word that sits in judgment over us, your word that is living and true, sharper than any two-edged sword, that pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, it's able to discern the very intentions of our own hearts. This is your word. We pray that you, through the eternal Spirit, even in this time, this morning, as your word is proclaimed, that he would work in our hearts, he would convict us, he would edify us, he would comfort us, he would encourage us, he would open our eyes that we might behold the glorious truths and the wonder of our Lord as he ministers to helpless people. Be gracious to us, even now, we ask, for Christ's sake. Amen. Children, perhaps you have witnessed, as you watch or have the occasion to watch television, you have seen those commercials that are on your TV that show the need for people to help give to agencies that seek to rescue hurting and abandoned animals. Perhaps when you've been out with your parents, maybe you have seen a stray dog or a cat on the side of the road. They look hurt, they look wounded, they look hungry. And perhaps in your heart, in your mind, you're thinking to yourself, wouldn't it be just wonderful if I could just snatch that pet up, that dog up in my arms, I could take it home, I could feed it, I could give it water, take care of it. What you're experiencing, children, teenagers, is the emotion of compassion. The emotion that is here given to us, even in this text that Mark's gospel highlights for us in these verses, that our Savior, though the king, the prophet, priest, and king, was a man, the God-man. He was the one to whom he brought great compassion to hurting people, people who had no chance in all their lives to help themselves. Here in the story of the unnamed leper, we see something of the glory of Christ and his compassionate nature to helpless sinners. Now I wonder, friends, as you consider the Savior even this morning, as you've even heard these words read to you, when is the last time you have contemplated, have thought seriously, thought deeply upon the nature, this compassionate nature that Christ has shown you? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you have received compassion. You have received compassion upon compassion. He has not treated you as your sins deserve. He has treated you with great grace and with great mercy. You, the leper of the world, even as we'll see in the face of this real leper, he has demonstrated to you an incredible love so undeserved. When is the last time you in family worship, parents, have pointed your children to the glories of the gospel, here even given in the compassionate nature that he shows in his humanity towards sinners? Oh, friends, how much we need to think more about the compassion of Christ. We live in a world, don't we, now that this whole subject of compassion seems to be so egregiously lost in our society. And of all people in the world that ought to be demonstrating the greatest of compassion is those that have received the greatest compassion from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not true? Is that not something that we ought to emulate and model before the world in every sphere of our lives, whether it's in our job, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, with friends and family, with loved ones? Indeed, we recipients of the compassion of Christ should be the ones who are emulating it and giving it, offering it often to a dying and dark and hurting world. Now, Mark, in these verses before us this morning, having already dealt with the question of the deity of Christ, after having set forth before us in the early verses of chapter 1, proving and demonstrating that Christ was not like any other ordinary man, he was the God-man come from the Father, he was himself God, now shows to us, to you and to me this morning, he shows something of the humanity of Jesus. The humanity of Christ. Much is made in the Reformed tradition of the deity of Christ, and indeed we need to. Volumes have been written to defend this central doctrine of the deity of Christ. But as we do so, we must never sacrifice the simple truth of the New Testament, the truth of the Bible, that Jesus Christ was a man. Just like you, and just like me. He, without sin, yet without sin, was a man who was tempted in all ways that we are, who suffered in all ways that we suffer, who in this text shows his compassionate nature as a man to an undeserving man, this leper who was unnamed and unknown. And so this morning, with God's help, I want to show you the compassion or the compassionate Savior, and how he has demonstrated his compassion towards you, requiring you to love and follow him. I want to show you how the Spirit of God is teaching us in this narrative, this encounter between the Lord Jesus Christ, the God-man, and this unnamed, unknown leper, how he is demonstrating his compassionate nature to you. And how in receiving his compassion, you then too must go out, unlike this leper, you must go out and follow him and love him for all that he has done. We're going to consider these words given in the gospel in three headings this morning. We're going to first consider the compassion of Christ sought. The compassion of Christ sought in the activities, in the efforts of this leper. And then we're going to consider the compassion of Christ demonstrated. What did Christ do? How did he show forth his compassion? Did he merely say, "I'm compassionate"? Or did he behave and act on it? We're going to see that in our second heading. And then finally, third, the compassion of Christ, sadly ignored. The compassion of Christ sought, the compassion of Christ demonstrated, and the compassion of Christ, sadly ignored. Let's first consider together the compassion of Christ sought. We know right away that the gospel writer, that is, of course, Mark, who is writing primarily to Gentiles, he's writing to a Gentile audience. He begins, verse 41, "And a leper came to him." He sets the frame immediately in the text with the condition and the concern that faces this man and will frame the entire narrative that we have before us. We note that he was indeed a leper. Much has been written on this subject of leprosy. We read much of it in the Old Testament, especially beginning in Leviticus 13, moving even further in to that particular book. But the question, of course, comes, maybe children, maybe you wonder, what is leprosy? I've read that word so many times in my Bible, but I really don't know what it is. Well, one commentator, one scholar defines it or explains it like this. It's a generic term applied to a variety of skin disorders, from psoriasis to true leprosy. Its symptoms range from white patches on the skin to running sores to the loss of digits on the fingers and toes. Can you imagine you having leprosy and you are missing fingers, you're missing toes, and all of the complications that come from this? For the Hebrews, especially as highlighted in the Old Testament book of Leviticus, it was a dreaded malady which rendered its victims ceremonially unclean. That is, they were unfit to worship God. They were unfit because of this dreaded malady, this dreaded disease. They were unfit to gather with God's people, to worship with God's people. Much as you have been benefited and have the privilege this morning to come here into this place and God's kindness to invite you to come and worship Him together, imagine, friends, what it would be like to have this dreaded disease and be prevented because of it from gathering with your brothers and sisters on the Lord's Day. How horrible must it have been for this unnamed, unknown man to not be able to gather in the place of worship with the people to worship the living and true God. The scholar goes on, the commentator goes on, he says, anyone who came into contact with the leper was also considered unclean. Therefore, lepers were isolated from the rest of the community. Isolated. Put a different way, in our modern context, quarantined. How many times in recent days have we heard that word on the news? How many times in recent days have we been faced with much of what this leper is facing in this text, although to a much greater degree? Isolated from the rest of the community so that the members of the community could maintain their status as worshipers. The physical condition of this poor man was that he had a disease that ultimately prevented him from any social contact, any social involvement, interaction with God's people. He, my friends, was alone. He was a social outcast, as given in Old Testament law back in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. Any who came into contact, any who had this dreaded malady of leprosy, were required by the scriptures, by God Himself, to go throughout the camp to warn people that they had this horrible disease. We read in Leviticus 13, beginning in verse 45, the leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." How dreadfully embarrassing it must have been for him. Imagine if the government, if some law was passed in which you perhaps have contracted COVID-19, and the government required of you as you walk through the store, the towns of here in Evansville, and we're required to call out, "Unclean, unclean," to people. Would you not be embarrassed? Would you not feel odd and strange? Of course you would. Indeed, you would. This man is not merely a man who possesses and has in his own skin, in his own body, a disease. He has, as it were, a disease of being a social outcast in the world. A man who undoubtedly had no friends, had no family, none to speak of anyway, because they weren't able to be in contact with him, much of which we have experienced where we have had loved ones in homes and in nursing homes and facilities where we could not visit them because of this dreaded virus that we are facing even as a nation. This man was horrifically alone, a social outcast of the highest order. Now, many of you children indeed will not remember this, and your parents, I suspect, may or may not, I don't know. But when I was growing up, there was a disease that began to ravage across the nation. That disease was HIV. And in those days, much like in COVID days, there was a lot of unknown. But what we did know and learn through that experience in the 80s is that there was so much unknown and uncertainty about it that people became suspicious of anybody who may have had it. In the workplace, out in society, anyone who had HIV was considered a social outcast by others. This man in this text, because of his leprosy, is a social outcast. Without hope in the world, with no friends and no family to speak of, and we don't even know how long he has possessed this particular disease. But we do know one thing, as the text tells us very clearly, that this man was at the end of his rope. He had lived with this long enough. He had probably and sought help in other ways, perhaps, but now in the text he comes, verse 40, and he implores the Savior. He goes to him as the only chance he's got to be clean and to be free from this disease that has rendered him unfit to worship, has rendered him a social outcast with no hope in the world, isolated from all of society. He comes, Mark tells us in that verse, and he says that he implored Christ. He didn't just walk up to him in a casual way and say, "Well, you know, if you feel like it, maybe you can make me better, but if not, don't worry about it." No, he came imploring. The nature of the word is very strong. It is that which demonstrates this man's attitude, one of great perseverance. The fact of the matter is, the man shouldn't even have been there in the first place. He should have been isolated himself from society, from people, but here he is slinking around as he sees the Savior moving from town to town, and he implores Christ for help in his time of dreaded concern. Here we have, modeled by this leper, something that we as Christians today need to do more of. When we pray, do you pray with a frame and attitude, much like this leper, with great pleading to the God of heaven? Do you plead and continue to plead with him for the things that ail us as a nation, as a church, and those things that ail you in your own home and life, friends and loved ones who don't know Christ? Do you plead? Do you continue to implore of Christ the help that only he can offer? This man models for us great perseverance, doesn't he? He comes imploring the Savior. In Luke's gospel, we have an example of this pleading and persevering nature. that should mark every child of God. Everyone who prays, everyone who goes to Christ should come in this way, even as Jesus teaches us in Luke chapter 18 in the very first 8 verses. There we have the parable of the persistent widow. Now listen even just to the words as I make few comments as to the parable. It speaks for itself. It really does. Luke 18, verse 1, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not be beat down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Here we have in this parable in Luke 18, the story of an unjust judge who, because of the persistence of this woman, begins and does finally acquiesce, give to her what she continually asks for. My friends, when you pray, you're not praying to an unjust judge. You're praying to the God of heaven. More, you're praying to a Father who stands ready and able to help you in whatever it is you have need of. Cast all your cares upon me, God tells us. Because why? Because he cares. He cares for you. This leper knew something of Christ. He must have heard. He must have noticed. He must have observed something of the Savior, that knowing that if he would just get before him, if he could just get before him and imploringly ask of him that which only Jesus Christ can do for him, he would find relief for his troubled soul. You pray that way. In your prayer closet, here in the church, in family worship, do you plead with perseverance for that which you need? My friends, I would encourage you, even today, as you pray, as you look to God in heaven, your Father, you remember that he's just to you. But more, he loves his children, and he will give to you that which you need. The leper knew that. He came with perseverance. Not only did he come with perseverance, he came with great reverence. He came with great reverence. The text tells us that he kneeled before Christ. Kneeling, he said to him. Too often in our prayer lives, we're awfully flippant with the God of heaven. While we have been given divine access through the work of Christ to come boldly into the throne room in which only the high priest would go once a year, now you, as priests of God, as chosen of God, a holy priesthood, now have access day and night, wherever you may be, to pray. Let's remember that as we're praying, we're not talking to a buddy. We're not talking to a pal. We're talking to the sovereign God of heaven and earth. We're talking to the Creator, even as this leper was indeed talking to the Creator of all that was seen and unseen. We, though coming with perseverance, though coming with boldness, we come with reverence and awe of his majesty, of his glory, of his sovereignty, of his beauty, of his wonder, and all that he has promised to his people. We come with reverence when we pray. Far too often, I, as a pastor, have witnessed men and women, boys and girls, even praying very irreverently to God. No, indeed, this leper models for us in his imploring nature, doesn't he? He models to us the need to come before Christ, to come before our God in heaven with great reverence and awe. Not too long ago here in this service, you prayed in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." It's an expression of reverence, is it not? You have just said to God that whatever it is that you determine to do is what I would like you to do. You have reverently and submitted yourself to his will, whatever it may be, knowing that he is good and kind and gracious and will never err. But you have said to him, I want what you want. Is that not what the leper does here as he asks the Savior? If you will, you can make me clean. The leper was such a frame and perseverance and reverence that he was willing to submit to whatever the Savior would do, even if it were not what he would hope the Savior would do. We pray in his name, with perseverance, with reverence, understanding our place in the world, that we are to submit to him in all things. The man was helpless. He had no hope in the world. He'd been living as an outcast with no family and no friends. How was Jesus going to respond to this pitiful creature? Now you have the benefit of knowing the end of the story as you read it. But place yourself in the shoes of the leper for just a moment, not knowing what Jesus was going to say or even do. No, indeed, Christ does show his compassion to this man. The compassion of Christ now demonstrated by Mark as he demonstrates it to us in these words. He did not simply profess to be compassionate. He demonstrated it. How? How did Jesus in this passage, as it says there in verse 41, moved with pity? That's the ESV translation. Probably better translated, moved with compassion. Better even translated, moved with emotion from the very bowels of his being. Every fiber of the Savior looked to this man with a pitiful eye and a loving heart. It wasn't just that he felt sorry for him and moved about his business. Indeed, no, every aspect of Christ now is crying out in pity and love and compassion to him. Moved with pity, he says to the leper, I will be clean. How is it that Jesus demonstrated, not merely spoke, compassion? How is it here in this text that he demonstrated his compassion to this man? Well, first, he was willing to be interrupted. He was willing to be interrupted from what he had come to do. Now, you may be looking at the passage, you may think, well, Pastor, how do you get that from the words that are there in verse 41? Well, you have to back up outside of the context that we're dealing with to note that Jesus was in the process of moving from one town to another that he might preach. For that was why he came out. That is why he came, to preach repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. His sole purpose for living, in fact, was to preach the gospel and then to die for the terms of it. Jesus was willing to stop in his goal and his mission to listen to this pitiful wreck of a human being, to be interrupted by him, to show forth not merely that he was compassionate, but to act on his compassion to this man. He was willing to be interrupted from the things that he was doing and the things that he was called to do. Second, not only was he willing to be interrupted, he was willing to be misunderstood. He was willing to be misunderstood by the crowd that was there. To touch an unclean man, to touch a leper even, was tantamount to breaking the law. It was that which would render even him ceremonially unclean. Of course, it could not, because he was the great high priest who makes all things clean. But the point is, the people there, the crowd, as they witnessed this leper approach the Savior, did not know that. And as Jesus reached out his hand and touched him, they must have been in an abject horror. But he was willing to be misunderstood by the crowd. He was willing to be misunderstood by the people, not knowing fully who he was and what he came to do. He was willing to give to this man not merely words of kindness, but he was willing to be interrupted. He was willing to be misunderstood that he might show his heart to this leper. He risked being regarded as unclean. He risked social misunderstanding by the people. Many times in our days, as I even address the elders of this room, as I speak to at least two men in this room and three, me, one of the functions of the office of elder is to show compassion to the sheep of God's pasture. One of the responsibilities of an elder is to be kind and gentle and loving and leading and set by example the very nature of the good shepherd, the one who is the shepherd and we under shepherds. So let me ask you plainly, brothers, both of you, do you have this kind of heart of compassion for the people in this room? Are you willing to be interrupted in your daily enterprise, in your schedule, in all that you plan for the sake of God's people? I don't need to tell you, I've pastored for a number of years now and not long enough to know that I make a schedule every week. In fact, I'm rather OCD about it. And I can tell you categorically, every single week it gets interrupted by somebody in the church. Some need, some concern, some issue, some phone call, some email that needs to be answered, some visit that needs to be conducted. Am I willing to interrupt my calendar for the sake of God's people? Are you, brothers? Jesus was. He loved the people enough to be interrupted. How much more than we, as his under shepherds in Christ's church. We also note here, as he touches this man to show his compassion to this man, that he, in that single act, is sympathizing with hurting people. Isn't it true that the Savior sympathizes with your weakness? When you cry out to him for help, you're not crying out to a one who does not know what it is like to suffer. You're not crying out to a one who doesn't know what it's like to be tempted. You're not crying out to a one who doesn't know what it's like to die. You're crying out to a sympathetic, compassionate Savior. And he models that in the touch, that single act of touch that this leper has probably not experienced for years by anybody. He identifies with sinners in the single act of touching them. How might a man like this, who has received that which he certainly did not deserve, how might a man respond to such a compassionate act? The text tells us that Jesus was willing. He touched him. He cleansed him. He was then made clean. How did the leper respond to the compassion of Christ? You would think, in any normal process, anybody who's received such a blessing and benefit from Christ, from anybody really, would go and do exactly what he has told them to do. But that's not what happens, is it? Really, the tragedy of the story is that this man, a leper, who started so well, who knew where his hope resided, who implored and cried out to Christ for help, ends badly, doesn't he? A man who has received the very compassionate nature of Christ now ignores that compassion by ignoring the very directives that Christ gives to him. The text tells us that Christ commands him to go and show himself to the priest in keeping with the Mosaic law. Embedded here in Christ's directives to this leper is the realization that the Savior, the God-man, was not above the law, but subservient to it. Who was then given by directive to this leper the responsibility that he had to go and make this right with the priest of the town. that he might be declared by this priest as clean from the leprosy that so badly affected him. In this command, Christ communicates to the onlookers really the grace of the law. First, we note that Jesus himself even highlights the fact that the Bible matters. The Bible matters. He gives to him clear direction, taken directly from Leviticus 14, as to how he should respond. Second, here Christ demonstrates to us that right theology matters. Christ did not circumvent the law. He did not change it for his own purposes. He did not set it aside. He gave to that leper exactly what he was supposed to do under the law. In fact, under the Word of God. He gave to him right theology and right instruction as to how he might obey the truth. Is that not what you and I are required to do? I mean, let me just be plain with you this morning. Do you know Christ as Lord and Savior? Have you bowed the knee before him? Have you, in fact, like this leper, have you received the compassionate nature of Christ? Children, with the privilege of living in a Christian home, that's a compassionate act of God himself to place you there. You did not choose that. You did not purpose that. As those who have received the very grace of Christ, is it not true then, therefore, that we, out of great zeal and love for him, ought to respond not like this leper who went out and did exactly the opposite of what Jesus told him to do, but to do exactly what he tells us to do? It was Jesus himself who said that if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Yeah, but pastor, I can't do it perfectly. You're absolutely right. You can't. That's why you need Jesus. You'll never keep his commands perfectly, not in thought, word, or deed. But do you desire, do you strive with all the appointments that God's given to you as you hear the voice of the Good Shepherd who's shown his love for you? Do you set forth to live a life that looks and emulates that which Christ has taught? This leper did not do that. And as a result, it harmed the testimony of the gospel itself. Jesus was not allowed, even he wasn't able to go out and speak openly in the towns, but he had to go to distant places. And how many times in our lives as Christians do we behave poorly before the world as those who've received the grace of Christ, and we do not model the Savior before the watching world, and we harm the very impact of the gospel of Christ? No, indeed, as recipients of the compassion of Christ, we should, with great zeal and love for him, we should all the more want to know the Bible, the right theology of the Bible, and to live that which Jesus has told his followers to do. If you love me, he says, you'll do what I tell you. You love Christ this morning? I trust you do. But I would be a fool to stand in this pulpit this morning, especially in a congregation that I know almost nothing about, and not ask you plainly, do you know Christ? Do you know the compassion of Christ? You are the leper. Do you not see in this text that this is not about some isolated man that came along somewhere in some story and event in the life of Christ? This man here is you. You're the leper. All of us were the leper. The maimed and the broken, the outcasts, the hurting, the ones who cannot rightly worship God and had no fellowship with him at all. Have you bowed the knee to the Savior? Those who have, those who know, have submitted to his will, do you willingly bow to his directives? Don't be like the leper. Plead for more grace and help from the Spirit of God to help you do that which he tells you to do each and every day. As your feet hit the floor in the morning, Lord, help me to obey you. Grant me your Spirit. He will. The leper started well, didn't he? he ended badly. I've shown you this morning how our Lord demonstrates compassion. He doesn't just say it. Talk is cheap. We've all heard that expression. No, he did. He acted. He shows his compassion to the least likely of candidates, the leper himself, us indeed, sinners all. I've shown you how our Lord demonstrated real compassion towards a leper and outcast of society. You and me, the lepers of the world, disfigured, maimed, and marred. But our Lord showed to us the truest form of compassion by giving us his mercy and his grace, even himself, that you might know what it's like to be clean and cleansed. Three things. I realize I'm a little long. Three things as I end this morning. You must respond to his commands as given, as one who can say, I love Jesus. I love the Lord Jesus Christ, you tell me. That's fine. If that is true, you will be pleading with him for more grace to obey. It was Robert Murray McShane, the great Scottish preacher, that said it is a sure sign of grace to ask, plead for more grace. More grace, Lord, that I might obey you. Second, as recipients of Christ's compassion and seeking to be obedient to him, be obedient to his directives to the world. Love your neighbor. You just read not too long ago about the summation of the second table of the law. Love your neighbor. Show compassion to the weak and the hurting of the world. Bring to them Christ, their only hope. And then third, to the elders in particular, you have been especially charged with shepherding the sheep with loving compassion. Especially charged. Everyone has been charged with that, but the elders especially have been charged with that glorious privilege and weighty responsibility. But remember that as you serve the people, they are not your master. Jesus Christ is. That means that you pray with and for them. You encourage and sometimes rebuke them. That means that you are not like the wicked shepherds of Ezekiel 34. That means you love right doctrine and theology as the Savior did. And you long to see the people grow in knowledge, righteousness, and true holiness. The compassion of Christ and our response to it, a response that should be that which shouts with great joy and delight, look what Jesus has done for such undeserving people, not just this leper, but for you. Even as we come to the Lord's table this morning, we have even before us on this table, we have a demonstration of his compassion, because we are weak people, every one of us. We need these elements to strengthen us, and he knew that. And he gave to the church these things that we might then love him all the more as we obediently take these elements in joyful remembrance of his love for the leper and the love for sinners. Amen.